The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. Whichever field of deen we look at, we see your success. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, welcome once again in our program called The Genius of the East. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, in this program of ours, we discuss the great multi-dimensional personality of Imam Ahle Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman. And we specially discuss his personality from the aspect of science. What great remarkable achievements he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi had in the field of science. A lot of our people, they are unaware of the achievements that Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman achieved in the field of science. In our last episode, we covered the area of taxonomy. Now moving forward, which branch of science will we cover today? Which branch of science are we covering today? Which Imam Ahle Sunnat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman attained expertise in? Insha'Allah, we will come to know about that very branch after listening to the virtue of reciting Durood-e-Pak, sending peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that the angels keep sending mercies upon a Muslim until he continues to recite Salat upon me, until he continues to send peace and blessings upon me. Now, it is the person's choice whether he recites less or more. So my dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, it is up to us whether we want to receive more mercies of the angels or less mercies. As the more Durood-e-Pak we recite in the court of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, more mercies and blessings of the malaika of the angels we will receive. So we shall all try to recite as many Durood-e-Pak, send as many peace and salutations upon Noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam as possible. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Today, which aspect of science are we going to discuss in which Imam Ahle Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi excelled in and attained expertise in? Insha'Allah, today we will be discussing the topic of physics. Yes, my dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Imam Ahle Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman also had expertise in the field of physics. Physics revolves around our life. There are various aspects in our life that revolves around the theories of physics. As always, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have a Muballigh Dawat Islami who is also a doctor by profession with us, who will be shedding more light into the research work and into the expertise of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh into the field of science, into the field of various branches of sciences which we are talking about. So, as mentioned earlier, that we will be discussing about physics today. So without any further delay, Dr. Saab, I would like to come to you that what exactly would you be discussing about today and what exactly our viewers of Madani channel should be waiting for in a way to listen from you today?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So yes, another excellent, the side of Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayh. And today I would like to portray him as a physicist.
Subhanallah.
Technically speaking, physics is a branch of science which studies matters and its properties. Okay. So that's what physics in its very broadest sense. However, if we include we could argue that lots of other branches of science are actually coming out of physics. So that might include chemistry, that might include biology, and that's where sometimes we use these rather blended terms of physical chemistry.
So the sub-branches of physics.
Exactly. So broadly speaking, that's true. And this is perhaps the most fundamental branch of science which we have been interested in, have been reading about, and people have been publishing and talking about for millennia. That's how old it is. And if we go right back even with the history of Muslim scientists, who were scholars as well as incredible physicists, but the beauty again of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is that he brings, even by today's era, he brings it to a completely different level. He brings it to the demands of modernity. That's the beauty of Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. So today, I think in this episode, if we get time, I would like to discuss two of his, which are covered under his fatawa, from Fatawa Radawiya Sharif. And I'm sure the viewers of Madani channel will be amazed to hear how an Islamic scholar could answer a question about light and about sound, the two basic concepts of physics, and how Sayyidi Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, in the context of deen, can explain it so beautifully by giving example after example from these two aspects of physics. In third volume, he explains not just about what a light is. So the question, I mean, it was a very all-encompassing question. But under that, Sayyidi Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala gives such incredible knowledge. He starts with in'ikas-e-nur, and that is a reflection of light. Then he talks about in'itaf-e-nur, that is a refraction of light. Then he talks about total internal refraction of light. Then theories of light. Then laws of light. And then geometry of light. All under one question, under one section of Fatawa.
Again, he's using the science of taxonomy.
Exactly.
In physics,
exactly. And the beauty of that is that he uses all these words, and then he doesn't leave the reader unfulfilled. He says, let me explain it to you.
Subhanallah.
And then he goes into examples. So he gives an example of reflection. And the beauty, if we could, and alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has published, the publishing institute for Dawat Razawiya Sharif, it is worth looking at where he talks about light. He actually draws pictorial diagrams to explain that here the incident ray of light comes, and here is the reflected ray of light going away. And then he says, he gives example, that is the example of a mirror. So in mirror, you get, because the surface is absolutely smooth, whatever light strikes, the light returns. But the beauty at the time of returning is that it changes people's, it changes the layout. So our right becomes left in the mirror.
True.
So Sayyidi Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he gives that explanation. And then he says that then if we move on to something where the densities of the matter are different, so as I said, physics is the study of matter, he brings that the basic concept into this discussion and says, well, the reflection only happens at the smooth surface. However, if it was a surface which was not smooth and there was a relative difference in densities of the matter, you get refraction of light. And then he goes into discussion about how the refraction of light is so important. And then under that, he gives examples of miraj. So, you know, so I'm sure the viewers of Madani channel would know. So miraj, as you know, if you are in a desert, for example, and this is where from far away, it seems that there is water. But when we get closer, it gets further and further away, and then it disappears. Why? So the question is, why does that happen? Now, if that answer was coming from a professor of physics, you would expect them to know that. But here, it is Sayyidi Al-Hazr Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, who is known as an Islamic scholar.
Allahu Akbar.
And he gives example of Mi'raj, and in that, he gives another example and say, have you seen when snow falls, and how the light which you see at the time of snow, in those overcast condition, it changes, because the snow particles have different densities. So as the light travels through that, it is refracted at different angles, you get a completely different picture from when the day is clear. Similarly in Mi'raj, it is the sand particles, or if it is on a road, it is the difference in the density. So as the sun rays strike, the difference of densities when it comes to the human eye, and it cannot differentiate between all these different refractions of light which are coming through, and the eye and the brain would interpret it. The eye would perceive and the brain would interpret it as Mi'raj. So he brings all these examples, and then it all comes. So what is the relevance of knowing all of that? That's the beauty of Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala. He always brings it back to deen. So what does he do? So he gives example of why this all of this knowledge is important. So he says, it is because if you were to put something in water, so let's say a stick. So if you had this glass of water, and if I put a stick or a pen in it, it wouldn't look straight. It would look rather bent. So why is that? That's because that before it was the density difference between air and water, and that difference in density, our human eye perceived it as a bent object, when actually it was straight. So he then draws these geometric designs and diagrams in Fatawa Razaviyah to explain all this concept, so that just that, you know, there is nothing left for the reader to imagine. Everything has made in its true sense crystal clear for them to understand.
That's amazing. And Doctor, the beautiful point you mentioned, that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he would bring everything back to deen. As purpose of this was just to please Allah Almighty and Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So whatever they were given by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, whatever bestowment was bestowed upon them by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, they used it for the sake of the deen of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. If I'm intelligent today, Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is serving the Ummah in more than 100 departments at the moment. Alhamdulillah, Zawajal, we have the IT department of Dawat Islami, we have finance department of Dawat Islami, so on and so forth. So if I'm good in finance, why not help Dawat Islami and Deen in the field of finance? If I have good IT skills, why not help Dawat Islami and Deen in the field of IT? So we need to ask ourselves that the mindset of Awliya Karam Rahimahumullah has been to bring all the bestowments and blessings of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala back towards the Deen. Then Allah Almighty used to bless them more. Whereas our concept, unfortunately, is completely different. That we use our expertise and skills to enhance our bank balances, to enhance our businesses. Okay, through halal means, if you do so, there's nothing wrong in it, as long as we pay the zakah over it, etc. But how much yearning do we have to pay back to deen?
That's right.
Because if I have any kind of wisdom or skill in me, that is a bestowment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Nothing could have happened without Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala bestowing it to me. But what have I used? Have I used the same skill, same bestowment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for His own deen? And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islami teaches us this. And we get a great opportunity of serving deen out of these over 100 departments of Dawat Islami. Whatever skills you might have, you're a solicitor, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have a majlis, a department for solicitors. You're an accountant, we have finance department. You're IT specialist, we have IT department of Dawat Islami, so on and so forth. So whatever walk of life you've come from, in one way or the other, you can help Dawat Islami. In other words, you can help the deen of Islam, the deen of Allah Almighty. And this is what, Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami brings us back to. That use your expertise, use your skills for the sake of deen of Islam, for the sake of deen of Allah Almighty, who, in fact, initially gave you this skill. Alhamdulillah, Yazzawajal. So, Dr. Saab, it sounds very fascinating, and it's very interesting the fact that you've mentioned about Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala and the expertise he had on the field of physics. Shed some more light onto his research, So the viewers of Madani channel can have a more in-depth gist of the expertise that Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman had in physics.
So I guess staying on that the concept of light. So you know, so I gave, so one Allah rahmatullah ta'ala gave examples of why it's relevant to us. And then again, that the professor, the mathematics professor, whilst he was with Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala, so inshallah, so we'll explain that part in more detail. But in that incident, one of the things which also happened was that as he was leaving, so he was offered to ask any question to Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala. So a professor now being offered the opportunity to ask Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala anything. And the question he asked, beautiful question, he says, how come that before the time of Fajr finishes, before the sun rises, there is already light? So how do you decide that time of Fajr has now finished when the light you could see few minutes or several minutes before that?
Very good question, which strikes mind of a layman. And back in those days, we didn't have these applications, salah apps, and so on and so forth.
Exactly, that's right. So Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala, now he could have given him all this knowledge, which we have just given examples of how he's beautifully written that down with diagrams and everything. But because now this person is face to face, so his quality of sharing information, of sharing that evidence, exactly as an experimental physician will do, as a scientist will do. What does he do? He says, let me do an experiment in front of you. And that will help you understand why that is. So what does he do? He gets someone to bring a bowl of water. And he asked one of his pupils to drop a coin in it.
Okay.
So a bowl of water, coin, as it drops, it goes straight to the bottom. And he asks the professor and says, so the bowl is here, you are standing up, can you see the coin? He says, yeah, I can see the coin. He says, Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala says, now step back. He takes a step back. Can you see it now? No, I can't see it now, because he's taken one or several steps back. So Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala says, the coin is still there, so how come you are not able to see it? And he says, because it's the edges of that bowl which are preventing me seeing that, because the coin is right at the bottom and the edges of the bowl which don't let me see that. So he says, okay, let's pour more water in it. So as he pours more water, the coin comes up with the, because of the weight of the water, so that's buoyancy. So again, a concept of physics he's demonstrating. So the coin comes up and he says, can you see it now? He says, now I can see it. But you're standing at the same place.
Allahu
Akbar. So the same coin you couldn't see before, you gave me a reason because the edges, all I've done is added a bit more water. How can you see it now? And he says, of course, it's buoyancy and it's come up. So Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala says, that's exactly how the sunrise happens. So the sun is always there, but it is the change in the densities of the atmosphere around the earth in terms of that the rotation is as it is exactly as you're pouring more water. So as you pour more water, the density starts to change, it starts to rise, and you can see the sun. And that is the time when the Fajr finishes. But before that, the light was still striking it. Some of that was still refracting back to your eyes, so you could see a little bit of that coin, but it hasn't reached that standard set by Sharia, which decides when the time of Fajr has finished.
Subhanallah, mashallah. That's amazing in terms of the method of explaining over here. If we think about it, Dr. Saab, earlier the questions which we went through, where a layman asked a question to Ala Hazrat, Ala Hazrat replies to him in a different way. But when a professor is asking question to Ala Hazrat, now the way of explanation is different. Exactly. And this is also one of the attributes of Awliya Allah, that they know that how to the when to speak to a certain person in which manner. Yeah. And over here, this is not an ordinary person, this is a scholar. And beforehand, It was a layman, it was an ordinary person. So if the same example Allah Hazrat had given to a layman, he wouldn't have been able to understand, because he doesn't understand the concept which a scholar understood. So this is also a great attribute of Imam Ahlus Sunnah.
So I guess, so as doctors, we are supposed to be teachers as well. So we're teaching the doctors of tomorrow. And so we have to go to these courses. And I'm sure anybody who's been to a teaching course, one of the things they will always say is that you need to know your audience. And that comes under, which again we're not discussing separately, is the branch of psychology. So this is audience psychology. This is pupil psychology. You come to their level, but you explain it in the words they can understand. So that's exactly what Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala is demonstrating here. His absolute understanding and grasp of psychology, that if I give professor a straightforward answer, he may not appreciate it. However, if I do it the way he does it, so he's coming to his level and demonstrating, and that's his beauty about his knowledge of psychology.
So we've unlocked another branch within this very topic of ours, the branch of psychology, that Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Ali Rahmatur Rahman, also had a grip and expertise in the field of psychology. And as we are discussing regarding conveying message to others, that what level should you come to when you are talking to someone or when you're replying to them, as this beautiful attribute, we see that Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala was an embodiment of it. With the faith of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, we see this in Amir Ahl Sunnat as well. We see in Madani Muzakaras that many a times this general audience, they ask a question and Amir Ahl Sunnat Damat Barakatum Al Aliyah explain them in very simple words. But at the same time, if a scholar asks a question in the court of Amir Ahl Sunnat Damat Barakatum Al Aliyah, then the way of answering to a scholar is completely different. So these great attributes, we see that this is a special bestowment of Allah Almighty upon His chosen people. So Imam Ahl Sunnat Ali Rahma had this attribute, and with his Sayyidan Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Amir Ahl Sunnat Damat Barakatum Al Aliyah is also an embodiment of this very attribute.
Absolutely. So I think, and as you've said, that Amir Ahl Sunnat Damat Barakatum Al Aliyah is, you know, he always says that his ideal is Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah. And there is a reason. So this idealism comes from his all-encompassing knowledge, which is one attribute of Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullah Ta'ala. So another way in which, so we have been talking about light, but another question which comes to Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullah Ta'ala, and when he writes a whole book, and that is Al-Kashf al-Shafiyah fil Hukmi Phonographia. So the question was very simple. So we're all used to tape recorders, and nowadays, you know, it's mobile devices, and we record things and play them. So in those days, gramophone was a very fashionable thing. So they had these big records which were played. So question comes to Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is, if that device is used to listen to music compared to listening to the Holy Quran, would it be permissible to listen to it? That's the first question. And if it is, which would be permissible? So, of course, the Holy Quran. But is it okay to even record Holy Quran? Because this is a new device. People don't know about it. So, Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala could have given two-line answer to say that, you know, depending on the purpose, a recording device or whatever. But Allahu Akbar, what Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala does, in answering this question, he says the first thing before we even say whether it's permissible or not is there are two distinct issues.
Allahu Akbar.
Again, classifying. One is gramophone, and one is the instrument which is being used to play that.
Okay.
So if that's the case, then the next thing which comes to anyone's mind is, what is sound? So you have to start at that level to decide whether an instrument like that, which can record voices, which can play them, are they acceptable in Sharia and are they aligned with the laws of Sharia? So in order to explain that, he goes into the discussion of what is sound, how is it produced, how is it heard, how it is sustained, And then how does the, whether it goes to the outer ear or the inside ear.
Allahu
Akbar. And then he goes, he talks about the amplitude of sound. Then he talks about the frequency of sound.
Allah.
Then he talks about the rarefaction of sound.
Allah.
Then he talks about the diffraction of sound. So scholar says that now, all of that, which Sayyidi Allah has given answering one question, he wrote pages, he wrote a whole booklet, and in the end, that whole concept comes in the damped harmonic motion.
Allah.
So all of that theory, which we now call damped harmonic motion, that Sayyidi Alayhi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala explained in the answer of this question, whether it's okay to record the in a gramophone and play it out after.
SubhanAllah, that's amazing. I mean, the answer could have been given in one or two lines. But look at the expertise and grasp of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, that not only he's explaining it from the Shari'i perspective, but also explaining from the scientific perspective, that what kind of sound it is, which exactly part of the ear is it reflecting upon, etc., etc., and then goes so deep into it and then answers whether it is permissible or not. My dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, our ears, which Muballigh Dawat Islami was just talking about, which we use to either listen to the permissible things or impermissible things. So this is a great bestowment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. We shall always try to use this great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the acts of worship and try to refrain using them in those activities from which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam forbade us from. Whenever we get a chance, we shall try to use these ears to listen to the tilawate Quran Pak, to the recitation of the Holy Quran, to the praise of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and to the beautiful speeches on Madani Channel. When we are watching Madani Channel, we use these eyes. Again, the concept of light is coming over here. We are watching television when the light is coming from the TV screens. Dr. Sahib beautifully explained the theory of Ala Hazrat regarding light. And at the same time, we're using our ears to listen to what the preacher, Muballigh Dawat Islami, is saying on Madani Channel. So whenever we get a chance to listen to Madani Channel, or whenever we use our ears, always, always, always use them to fulfill the command of Allah Almighty. Always use them in those activities that bring about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and not use them in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Dr. Saab, any final comments on our this very episodes of physics?
So as we said in the beginning, you know, we can't do justice to Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. And you know, if you look at his discussions about sound, he talks about echoes. So how come the voice echoes? Where does it echo? Where it doesn't echo? And you know, that you know, what we're now using in this sort of dome technology and looking at acoustics, which is another, I guess, sub-branch of physics. Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has beautifully described, so we don't have enough time to go into the detail, but about echoes. Then in, some people may remember it from a childhood experiment where you take two cups and, you know, there's cardboard cups. You pierce them and then you put a string. And then you give it to your brother and say, you go into the other room, I'm in this room. You say something in that and the person can hear it on the other side. You know, so just a childhood experiment. But what it brings us to, say, the Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala used similar example to explain localization of sound. How do you localize sound? How do you know that the sound is coming from near or from far? All of that discussion, it comes under just different Islamic questions, fatawa, legal rulings which are being asked, and he's explaining all of that.
Amazing.
And then comes to this. So, as I said, you know, we certainly cannot, we can talk for hours, but as you said rightly, I think it is the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So what we need to think is that whatever sound which comes to our ear, it should be that which is, which pleases Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Blessed Habib
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in a nutshell, again, that Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Alayhi Rahmatur Rahman, being the Mufti, was answering the question. He does not do so only from Shari'i perspectives, but also from scientific perspectives and from those perspectives which even the scholars of that specific field wouldn't be able to do. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla. That is the personality, the versatile personality of Imam Ahle Sunnah, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the topic of physics and every topic that we are talking about, time does not allow us to carry on and on to speak about the expertise of Imam Ahle Sunnah, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. Insha'Allah, Azza wa Jalla, we will try to cover, because physics is a very vast topic, in our next episode, we will try to cover further expertise of Imam Ahle Sunnah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh on the branch of physics. Till then, take very good care of yourself and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. Which has